With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live for the news and views you can't hear anywhere else. It's the Steve Hook Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Enough is enough. Enough is enough. The experiment of peaceful coexistence has failed. It didn't work. It's not working, and it's never going to work. I think they should acknowledge it, stop trying. I think they should take Gaza back. And if everyone's worried about the Palestinians, let them be absorbed into Jordan or Egypt or other Arab countries. As far as America goes, let me just say that elections have consequences. If we're supposed to be the leader of the free world, then we need somebody who can lead and do it in a way where the world is free, not where we're having people go back to Sharia in Afghanistan and back to the dark ages in Israel. And
welcome to the Steve Hook Show. My name is Lou Pate. Thank you for joining me. Thanks for spending some time here with us. Steve will be back next week. Alex is in the control room. Kimberly is producing. Ruckus is on standby. Mr. Adam Clark himself. It is a team effort here at TNT Radio and the Steve Hook Show. And we invite you to be part of the team in the U.S. and Canada, 1-888-201-6425. In the U.K., 033-0024-1026. And in Australia and New Zealand, 1-800-670-3100. Well, give peace a chance. That's not happening, folks. That is not happening. I think Israel feels they have gone that route for long enough. And give peace a chance is not happening. One wonders what John Lennon would say about all of this, 43 years after his murder, give peace a chance. And the second soundbite was from our guest yesterday, very passionate Deborah Weiss, saying enough is enough. A lot of people feel that way. But I want to address the information war is now beginning. And depending on what network you're watching, what streaming shows you're listening to, what you're reading on online, that's the information you're getting. That's the narrative that people want you to think. So, again, if you want to follow me online, Twitter, at Lou Pate Show, emails. Some of you emailed me yesterday. I do appreciate that. LouPate@gmail.com. Everything now is online. And let me tell you something, folks. I'm here in America. And from what I'm seeing in our major cities, America and most of the world seem to have an Israel problem. That would be a Jewish faith problem. That would be anti-Semitism. Wow. Now, we could argue all day about what is happening between Israel and Palestinians ever since 1948 and the back and forth there. But nobody can condone what happened, the slaughtering of people at a festival. No difference, as I mentioned yesterday, than the Harvest Festival in Las Vegas, Nevada, a few years ago. How could anybody condone this? We have audio of the Palestinian National Initiative Minister, Mustafa Baghoudi. We'll play that a little later, talking about how Hamas only targeted military installations, no civilians. Does he not have bandwidth? Does he not have an email account? Does he not have social media? It's all over the place. People being executed left and right. There are reports today of babies being murdered. I don't know if that's true. We haven't seen any videos of that. We've seen bloody cribs and things of that nature. We have a lot of people online questioning that, which I find interesting. And then we have the White House. We have President Biden coming out, reading his prepared statements and walking off, not answering questions, couldn't get out of there fast enough, like he stole something. And now war criminal Jake Sullivan is on TV taking questions, doing the job of the president. Obviously, the president is not capable of doing it. But all over the world, what happened in front of the Sydney Opera House in Sydney, Australia last night, which was repugnant, it was echoed all around the world. Here is the clip. Number one, please, Alex.
Where's the juice?
And if you can't hear what they were saying, they were screaming, "Gas the Jews, gas the Jews, Allah Akbar." Unbelievable. And this is going on in New York. It went on in London. It was, just wasn't in Sydney at the Opera House. Why does the world hate the Jews? Was Iran involved? The United States backed into a corner due to poor leadership in the White House and the Pentagon at the State Department. We'll cover that and a lot more here on The Steve Hook Show. But first, we'll take a break. You are listening to TNT Radio.
There's a lot going on, so it's important to stay informed and up to date.
Get ready, because here we go.
At the top, 30 minutes past and when it breaks. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, there's a lot more going on than Israel and Palestine, although these are historic events that are happening there. But Bill Gates is on the scene again, a man who I referred to as a pedophile due to his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. But because no one asked him to do so, the billionaire busybody Bill Gates, through his charitable jab-pushing foundation, has decided to spend $40 million on countries in Africa and other economically backward nations to produce new mRNA vaccines. Here with the story, joining me now, is TNT News Radio producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. Adam, this guy just has no shame, Bill Gates. What's he up to now?
He's obsessed with the vaccines, I think. But yes, this is under the guise, the idea, the premises. He's doing this to help all those poor Africans, because he cares a lot about poor Africans. It keeps him up at night, in an effort to prevent diseases like tuberculosis and malaria. But if you ask pretty much probably the common man on the street these days, it is 2023, they might say, well, the real reason is he wants to depopulate the planet. But hey, maybe that's a discussion for another day. Regardless, the news is that for some reason, as much good as his money could be used for other things, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has announced $40 million in funding to, quote, advance access to mRNA research and vaccine manufacturing technology that will support low and middle income countries, that's LMICs, capacity to develop high quality, life saving vaccines at scale, end quote. We want to make a lot of them. We want to make them on the cheap, and we want them now. This is according to an October 9th press release. The $40 million will be spent on boosting access, nice word, boosting access to a low cost mRNA research and manufacturing platform, which happens to be developed by Belgium-based Quantum Biosciences. Now, if I were a betting man, Lou, I bet I could go back, find some news about Bill Gates investing in this company 2 or 3 years ago. Just a supposition. I'm probably right. While $20 million will go to Quantum, two research institutes in Africa located in Senegal and South Africa will get 5 million smackaroonies each. The remaining $10 million will go to vaccine manufacturers from low and middle income countries. Now, this Quantum, their platform, can lead to a more than 50% drop in mRNA vaccine development costs compared to traditional mRNA technology, according to the release. Anyone who understands economics or business can understand, wow, we might be able to get a higher profit margin here. Yeah, just saying. The foundation argues that mRNA vaccines have, quote, simpler research and manufacturing processes, end quote, compared to traditional vaccines. Now, that right there, I'm going to pause because that's shocking to me. I would think that some sort of advanced new special technology, I mean, we're messing around with gene editing. This sounds pretty fancy smanshy to me, but you're telling me that's cheaper than to swill up a little bit of a virus in a vial? A vial? That's weird to me. But it is supposed to be cheaper.
Trust the science, Rutgers. Mm-hmm. Trust the science.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Always got to like trust the science. And now this is moved beyond the realms of just normal health science. This is a technology, and they want to expand this technology to countries such as South Africa and Senegal, where they believe they can lead the development of what they're referring to now as low-cost mRNA vaccines for specifically here diseases such as malaria and TB, tuberculosis. This $40 million adds funding to the foundation's previous investment worth $55 million in general in mRNA manufacturing technology. It's certainly the future. Dr. Muhammad Ali Pate, let's see, Nigeria.
No relation.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to do. Yeah.
Sorry,
I was trying to do the African pronunciation. But yeah, he says that Nigeria's coordinating coordinating minister of health and social welfare and global expert on vaccines. He's such an expert, I've never heard of him. But he said, quote, putting innovative mRNA technology in the hands of researchers and manufacturers in Africa and around the world will help ensure more people benefit from next generation vaccines, end quote. Yikes. They go on to say that, quote, this collaboration is an encouraging step that will increase access to critical health technologies and help African countries develop vaccines that meet the needs of their people, end quote. Yeah, I don't know, because if you've been paying attention to the news lately, there are some issues about those potential, as they still refer to them, potential side effects. And then, of course, we got the heart issue. We don't need to go there, do we?
Is blood clotting a side effect? Mm-hmm. What, Adam, why is he so obsessed with getting this mRNA into people worldwide? You know, it's amazing. He won't give up on it. The whole vaccine scheme failed. Only like 52% of Americans were totally vaxxed. I don't even think that many. And he's still at it. He won't give it up. Why is this? There's got to be a motive. I mean, that's not seen to you and I and everybody else.
Yeah, I don't buy the depopulation theory. Sure, there are a small handful of unnamed people that you or I will probably never even know who they are that do want to do that. And they kind of slow drip that down into the policies and the things that, yes, they do through people such as Bill Gates. But Bill Gates is a true believer. That guy is absolutely 100% whacked in the brain, obsessed with putting these things in people's arms. Call me crazy. I know there's a lot of weird, odd sexual fetishes out there, but perhaps this guy actually literally gets off on this kind of stuff. I know that sounds strange, but I can't think of any reasoning behind it other than, of course, you know, he is a bit of an astute investor. And when you're invested in nothing but vaccines and mRNA technology, you know, it helps to run around and push that product on the whole world, considering they're going to have to pay money for it. Just saying,
you know. I lived in Seattle for 6 years. 6 years I will never get back, Ruckus. And you know, obviously, Bill Gates is a big presence up there. And at that time, which was like 17 years ago, he and his wife had spent over $200 million on AIDS in Africa with absolutely nothing to show for it. And at the time, I didn't give it really a thought, but because it would just be a news report. And that now we find out all the things that he has been invested in and things that the Bill and Melinda Gates are involved in and everything that came out of COVID and that scheme. I have to wonder where that $200 million went. Was it just stolen? That would be an easy explanation. Was it wasted? That's enough. Or did it go into more nefarious research? But now with Bill and Melinda Gates, you just don't know. I'm surprised she keeps her name on it with him after she threw him out.
Well, yeah, I think that collectively they're still both interested in the cause, the mission, as it were. So I don't think she'll ever take her name off. But she's got, from what I understand, she might have more money than he does. I'd have to look into that, though.
Well, it depends. They didn't have a prenup. I know that. They met when they were little. But he keeps saying he's not even going to give his money to his kids when his time comes. He's only giving them $10 million apiece. A lot of people make that claim, but they never seem to actually go through with it. Something about giving away billions of dollars that just isn't in human DNA.
Yeah. But yeah. I really think the real reason is it's a money opportunity for Bill Gates. Yes. But I'm glad you brought up the AIDS thing, because he does seem to like to stick around the whole Africa thing. Stick around, no pun intended. But yeah.
Well, yeah, no. And that was, like I said, I lived in Seattle 17 years ago, so that was then. And for years, but the news report that they had spent $200 million and have nothing to show for it wasn't exactly complimentary, and no one gave it a second thought. But they now, all these years later, you have to wonder, you know, what they were up to. It was nice that they were putting their money into AIDS research, I thought, at the time. But again, who knows what they were really experimenting with? Who knows what people they might have been experimenting with on down there, if anything? But I don't buy the whole depopulation thing. I think that what he said in that famous video that's gone viral online when he was speaking to an auditorium of people, he was taken out of context, or maybe he chose the wrong words. Because, you know, mass murderers, and even on his level, they don't usually advertise it. Hey, but you mentioned the sexual thing. I'm a true crime nut. I read everything true crime. I go to the sites of true crime. It's because I grew up in the neighborhood where Son of Sam killed a bunch of people and got me interested as a little kid. They say that serial killers actually achieve orgasm sometimes when they're killing. So when you mention Bill Gates maybe being aroused by some of these things, that's what jumps into my mind. Everybody's got their own fetish, Ruckus. Who are we to judge?
Is that a needle in that poor African kid's arm, or is Bill Gates just happy to see you?
Oh, you know, there's only two ways to get to AIDS, they used to say back when it started, and both were by injection. So but that has since changed. It's really unfortunate, but they have come a long way. I don't know if his money had anything to do with it, but I just don't trust him now. Ruckus, are you? I'm so jaded. And I know Brian, who I'll be on with the next hour, Brian McLean, Hesh himself. We're both so jaded by what happened with COVID that, you know, I don't want to not believe anything anymore, but it's kind of hard. They've made us all so skeptical.
Yeah. This is why this year I suddenly stopped believing in the Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, and virology all at the same time.
I'm not giving up on Santa or the Easter Bunny. Virology, yes, you can have that one. I want my stuff at Easter and Christmas. And you know what? I'll even take Hanukkah. I'll throw in an extra 9 days. I'll convert for 9 days just to get stuff. Unbelievable. So what's coming up next with Bill Gates? I mean, what the fact that we know this, what's really going on? I mean, he's friends with Klaus Schwab, big with the WEF. It seems they're always up to something, but we can never figure out what it is, but it never benefits you and I and the rest of the population.
Yeah, well, in this case, they're telling us, since they're out there trying to fight malaria and tuberculosis, I suspect we're going to see an explosion of malaria and tuberculosis this year in Africa.
And the farming thing, Bill Gates is something about, you know, farming and climate change, and 33% of the air is ruined by cows, and it just makes no sense. It really does. But I guess we will find out when the next pandemic hits, when the science they tell us, Adam, we will find out. Unbelievable. All right, Adam, Ruckus, Clark, thank you very much. Do appreciate it. We'll take a quick break. Mark Larson coming up next here on TNT Radio.
You should hear what George Eliason is talking about.
We've just passed the anniversary of Nord Stream, and there's new stories circulating now. Seymour Hersh did an update to his original story, and quite frankly, it is horrific. It is a horror show. You could understand if Hersh got this wrong the first time around. Anybody's human. It happens. But to double down on a story that you know is wrong and push it as the truth, the only truth, and using your name built up over decades as a stellar investigative reporter, journalist, to push this kind of fabrication is just outrageous, and it's beyond me.
War of the Worlds with George Eliason on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Radio works because of its ability to personalize to the listener.
What's exciting these days is that people are rediscovering it. You know, people are really rediscovering just how powerful radio is, how ubiquitous it is. It's in our cars, it's in our homes. There are so many new ways to access it. It's everywhere.
To find out more, go to tntradio.live. For those who crave more than just reading headlines in their social media feeds.
People need to wake up.
Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Steve Hook Show. Lou Pate here with you. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for spending some time here with us. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, at Lou Pate Show, email me before, during, or after the show, loupate@gmail.com. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest for you coming up. Don't be jealous of him just because he lives in the beautiful city of San Diego, California. He also gets out of San Diego, travels the world to gain insight on the important stories that he covers and delivers on his show every night, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. on 600 KOGO Kogo in San Francisco, where I used to work. And I introduce now to the TNT radio audience a man I have actually had the honor to fill in for, Mark Larson. Mark Larson, welcome to the Steve Hook Show. How are you?
Hey, via Steve Hook. Hey, Lou, how are you? And I think you said I'm in San Francisco. Lord, no, we haven't gone that bad yet, but we're working on it. You know, we're trying to mess.
Mark, you've been covering the tragic events in Israel on your show on Kogo in San Diego. Where do you come down on all of this? There's There's so much debate going on. And quite frankly, I'm surprised at people who are coming down on the Palestinian side, not the side of the Palestinians when it comes to the land and the Israel versus Palestine argument that's been going on forever, but the slaughter of innocent civilians. And there should be only one side on that, but evidently there's not. And it's taken a lot of people aback. What do you think?
Well, first and foremost, I think it's taken aback our intelligence apparatus, and the same thing with Israel's Mossad, which blows my mind that, you know, the best in the world, and somehow if there was information maybe that wasn't shared with Israel, and we will see. I mean, Biden's been out today with his usual remarks, we stand by and stand with Israel, and we're going to do whatever it takes and so forth, which reminded me immediately of just how well that worked out in, let's see, Afghanistan, for example. So let's face it, Israel doesn't have friends in the neighborhood. The it's a couple were warming up, like Saudi Arabia with the Abraham Accords, and that's first and foremost what happened here. But the breadth and depth and brutality and evil is beyond comprehension. And this is not like, oh, let's all sit back and let's have some more diplomacy right now. I mean, Israel's got to do what they do and need to do because good luck with diplomacy. The same people who have been doing only that have missed this coming, which is unbelievable.
The intelligence, the information, the war is ongoing now, but the information war, Mark Larson, is happening now. The narrative getting the sympathy from the world. After 9/11, the world all came together because all nationalities were hit that day in New York, D.C., and Shanksville, Pennsylvania. There's no coming together with the world on this one. If anything, it's exposing divisions that we didn't even know we had amongst coworkers, amongst neighbors, amongst cities. It's pretty eye-opening. But I want to play you, Mark. I want to play you a soundbite. This is the Mustafa Baghoui, and I hope I'm not mispronouncing his name. He's the Pakistan National Initiative Director. And listen to what he said on CNN last night. Alex, cut number two, please.
I think Hamas mainly attacked military establishments, military installations. And most of the people they have arrested and taken as war prisoners are military people. I do not accept attacking any civilian.
I don't. He obviously knows that that's not the truth. Does he not have an Instagram or Twitter account or Facebook and know that there's literally thousands of videos out there showing people being executed at the music festival and elsewhere, and all of the stories of Hamas terrorists going house to house like the Nazis did in Warsaw, Germany, 1939, executing whole families? Or is this just the ghost Joseph Goebbels playbook? Put it out there and somebody might believe you.
It's not only that, Lou. It's the you remember Baghdad Bob and Desert Storm 1. You know, the tanks are rolling by. No, they're not here. They're not behind. Pay no attention. You're going to believe me or your lying, eyes and ears. He's a paid flack for the other side, and this has nothing to do with Israel becoming a nation state in 1948 or whatever. The extremists, the terrorists want to say as the narrative. There's no excuse for this, and it is beyond. I got to think the ISIS leftovers are out there going, wow, this is something we didn't even see this way. And they're amping it up with sheer terror, and you know how this goes. That Israel is now being blamed, and you'll see more of this in the next few days about their brutality when they have nothing else to do but fight back. Just about the time when they were starting to have some friends in the neighborhood, as I mentioned with the Abraham Accords, about getting rid of that as well. But I don't trust any of those people who go on CNN, most of them, even at CNN, working there, to give us a straight story. Because you can't, and yet part of the spin now from the evildoers are the Israelis are setting up some of this stuff. They're doing videos. Please, really?
They're accusing. There's the picture of the bloody crib, and they're saying that was a setup picture. Is the one? I think that's one that you're referring to. I saw that just before we went on the air. Does anybody really want to see the dead baby? I mean, come on. I still haven't clicked online to watch Nick Berg get his head cut off so many years ago, about 18 years ago.
Yeah,
I don't.
Not for the pain of.
I don't. Yeah, I don't need
that's
to
not
see
for
that.
The faint of heart, but I find it interesting that some of the same people, you know, weird twist here, people who think it's just fine to do abortions into the you know, final days in the womb are now seeing this and realizing, oh, wait, this is ugly. Yeah, in any form. But especially what we're seeing now happening at the hands of these terrorists out of Gaza, it is, well, it's just the beginning, unfortunately. They're just starting.
Now, Mark, you mentioned the intelligence community. I find it very difficult. We touched on this yesterday. I find it very difficult to believe that the United States intelligence community has missed this, that they didn't hear anything about it, that they didn't have anybody who infiltrated any group. Now, granted, there hasn't been much action in the United States. The FBI has been busy targeting Catholics and Christians and moms and dads in PTA meetings. I know that they're busy doing that. And maybe they obviously not watching the southern border, which affects you directly right where you live in San Diego County. And though they're so busy not doing their job that, you know, maybe this did slip through. But we know the FBI, the CIA, they have people everywhere as far as setting things up. We have the Whitmer, you know, fake kidnapping. We have all that went on with January 6th, which I fear, like the Kennedy assassination, we'll never know about. But it's impossible to believe that the intelligence community didn't know about this. But before I get your opinion on that, Mark, there was a special envoy to Iran by the name of Rob Malley. He was suspended, put on leave, paid leave, of course, part of the Biden administration, out of the State Department, due to his relationship with Iran. I was just reading up on this guy this morning, again, Rob Malley, M-A-L-L-E-Y. And this just adds to another long list of, you know, Democrats and their operatives, you know, either being the inside man or allowing the outside to get in. You had Feinstein with her chauffeur of 20 years, a Chinese spy, Swalwell sleeping with a Chinese spy. And now we have this Rob Malley guy that we don't know about. Debbie Wasserman Schultz in Florida with her, you know, half her staff was, you know, part of some spy rink out of the Middle East. So the Democrats have a history of this. So I just find it very hard to believe that they missed anything. Do you think this is a colossal failure in intelligence, or do you think they're not telling us the whole story?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, Lou. And as far as what they knew and if we had something we didn't share with Israel, keep in mind the narrative from the Biden administration, starting with the border, is everything's fine. I mean, they sound like the guy, the Palestinian mouthpiece. And again, by the way, you can be Palestinian and a Christian Palestinian or Palestinian Arabs without being the terrorists. I mean, there's no doubt, because the terrorists don't care about their people either. But for the Biden narrative to be everything's fine at the border, it's working beautifully. And you look 2 weeks ago, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, who has John Bolton's old job. And boy, Bolton's controversial, and he's a friend of mine, but I wish he was in the middle of this now. They might actually see what's going on. I'm sure they see it, but they don't want to say this. When Sullivan said 2 weeks ago, it's as quiet as it's been in the Middle East for 20 years. Basically, what he was suggesting is, look, what a great job we're doing here at the Biden administration. The worst place to be right now is a nation, an ally like Israel, and for the United States. Hey, the United States, you know, that's America. That's one thing. But for the political side, the Biden administration to say, we've got your back, it's time to worry. Because they wobble.
They will do what is best for them. I'm sorry. I called John Bolton last night, and he has yet to call me back. So if you talk to your friends, say, hey, you know, Lupate's not a bad guy. You should go on the show with him. we would love to get him on. But things have been quiet. You know, obviously, there was the horror that was 9/11 and then the ongoing Afghanistan war that people stopped paying attention to, sadly, because American soldiers and civilians there were still dying. And then along comes Donald Trump, who so many people hated. He brought the American embassy to Jerusalem. He got a lot of Arab nations to come together. You mentioned the Abraham Accords. And who would have thought? Was it Qatar, the United Arab Emirates, a few others? You know, all came on board, and that helped to make the silence even quieter, if you will. Yeah. And then this thing comes comes out of nowhere. And I'll repeat it because it cannot be said enough. Regardless of where one stands on the Palestinian side or the Israeli side when it comes to the land issue, as I said, it's a very complicated issue. We can debate that all day long. No one can condone what happened over the weekend and the slaughter of innocent civilians, but there are many people who are still doing that. Mark, do you think the Biden administration took their eye off the ball when it comes to this, when the way they cozy up with Iran, Barack Obama during his administration cozied up to Iran, Biden there with John Kerry, they're begging them to come back to the Iran nuclear deal, which President Trump at the time got rid of. Do you think they took their eye off the ball? And why do you think they're cozying up to Iran? I mean, these guys are old enough to remember the Iran hostage situation, and these Ayatollahs have been problems since the late 70s. I don't get it.
Yeah, well, their eyes on the ball as much as they want it to be on the ball, and they want to have a delusional world where everything's just sweet and nice. Go back. I mean, it's still the Obama-Biden administration in ideological form, thinking that if they just cozy up enough to Hamas, if they just are nice enough to Iran, it's all going to be fine. You go back to what went on with Assad in Syria, and Obama came out when he was president and said, we're going to draw a red line. If you use chemical weapons, there's a red line. And then it's like, let me erase that red line. Let's draw another red line. And on it went. The fact that the day after this attack from Hamas began over the weekend, was it Sunday morning? There's Antony Blinken, the hapless Secretary of State who's advised Joe Biden for like 40 years, and he's been wrong on so many things. Iraq and their free state solution and two nations in Israel, whatever. This is the deep state, the swamp, whatever you want to call it. But for him to say with a straight face, no American tax dollars, no American money is going to the effort to Hamas. I mean, let's face it, and it's some of the networks and even the Defense Department saying, well, we think there may be a connection with Iran. It's like anybody 2 years old and up can figure that one out. And just because you say, let's release $6 billion, which should be frozen again, but to release that and then say it's only for humanitarian purposes, I mean, anybody in business knows if you've got that much of liquid assets there that are in the bank or banks, and you want to get more money for nefarious purposes, then you borrow on that. Or more likely what they do is say, listen, I think Iran in some ways takes care of their people better than, probably a lot better than Hamas. Well, unless you're gay over there. I mean, they are in Iran with the mullahs. But, let's just say, okay, they're doing some humanitarian work. And they've been doing that as a matter of course. Now they say, hey, we got $6 million over here for humanitarian work. So we'll take the money we were spending and we'll send it to Hamas and Hezbollah. There's no mystery in this. It's what they do. But for some reason, the naive nature or the skewed, screw the U.S. world order that Obama Biden seem to embrace. I keep asking people who know about this and say, is it ineptitude or did they miss something? It's a little bit of both. Because you got a lot of people who, again, Trump was right on a lot of this stuff. And, whether it's Trump or not, and I'm not banging the drum for Trump here, but I guarantee you if he was president, this would not have happened. Because right now, Xi Jinping and company are going, oh, this is interesting. The Strategic Petroleum Reserve hasn't been filled back and nowhere near that. Now we got an oil crisis. This is going to lead to more inflation. Americans getting hammered enough. Everything gets connected in this. China's looking at this saying, maybe it's time to move up our plan with Taiwan. Then what? We're not exactly replacing in the warehouses, if you will, what we've been sending to allies in Ukraine, for example. This is a moment of weakness and probably colossal intelligence failure on our part and the side of Israel. They also, by the way, in intelligence, as you know, Lou, they've been relying on the super fancy technology. We've got eyes in the sky, and that's all fine. But apparently Hamas worked this the old-fashioned way. With codes and, kind of underground. And when people are saying, hey, it's peaceful, that's the time to worry. For example, Reagan got elected in the 80s. So he goes from 1980 through there and everything's quiet out. Reagan's here, everything's fine. Meanwhile, in academia, the radicals were taking over what's being instructed to American kids. This happened around the world as well. You say, well, if you think your person, male or female, is in there and that's your ideology, it's all great. And while you're sleeping in that peaceful delusion, the bad guys are scheming and they're making strides. So here's a case like, well, gee, that, Hamas seems fine. Point. What did Biden and Harris do when they get?
I'm saying, was anything ever more quiet? Were we ever more complacent than just before 9/11?
No, that's right. This is like, exactly right. So, you know, there's all kinds of examples how this works, and yet, you know, they gave another big chunk of money to Hamas when they first got to office, this administration did, thinking that that would help, and now we're going to play nice, and maybe we can finally get to a place where all the doves are singing in unison and everything's, if doves are singing, and it's overwhelmingly naive. And you got a bunch of people, including Joe Biden, who have been wrong on a lot of stuff. Even Barack Obama made a crack about that when Biden was running. Remember that? Something to the effect of never underestimate the possibility for Joe Biden to F something up.
Joe to screw it up. Now, I'm glad you brought up Xi Jinping in China, because Taiwan has been simmering on the back burner. They've been dictating American policy when it comes to that. Remember, earlier this year, it was around April or May, then Speaker McCarthy was going to meet with President Wen of Taiwan in Taiwan, and China said, you're not going to do that. And they listened, and they had their meeting in California because they didn't want to upset China. And I think they've had some tunnel vision the Biden administration has, obviously, with the almost, you know, no one knows the real number, $200 billion or so, $180 billion to Ukraine and what's going on there. So tunnel vision there, distracted slightly by Taiwan, and they are just what we, our munitions are down with our military, as you know, Mark, the strategic petroleum. Yep. I'm glad you brought that up because no one's talking about that. Trump, I'm a big Trump guy. So, you know, Trump filled up the strategic petroleum reserve. Not only did Biden empty it for political gain to try to bring gas down to 10 cents, but he also sold some to China, which he probably got a kickback on. And now, Mark, we have BRICS. You know, we have Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. They just had their big summer summit. They brought in 8 more nations, 2 of them being Iran and Saudi Arabia. That's nothing to sneeze at. They now control 80% of the world's oil, give or take, and 66% of all commerce. You know, how does this balance out? If it finds out that Iran was involved in this, how does it shake out with China and Russia, since they're kind of all forming a stronger coalition? Right, BRICS has been around forever, but only recently started to gel. And I think that's because of what the Biden administration's doing with Ukraine. Russia needed help. They cozied up to China. And now we are where we are. So, I mean, how does that all shake out? Does China and Russia accept this from Iran if it turns out they were involved?
It's the history repeats itself over and over again, which often could be the definition of insanity. But we got to learn from all of this. You're right. When they're quietly putting together, you see Xi Jinping going and talking to Putin, all these different alliances, everything old is new again. It's like back to the Sino-Soviet alliance, as they called it back in the 50s and 60s, especially in the 70s. So beware. And the leaders right now, I mean, the U.S. has always been the shining city on a hill, as Reagan liked to say, and the bright light of truth and all that. Right now, and this will politically gets blamed. Well, Trump was like a bull in the China shop, really. You get people to respect him. Reagan was told when he came into office, hey, the Russians think you're a trigger-happy cowboy. You need to go on and clear that up. And he said, well, no, let them think I'm nuts. Let them think I'm a little crazy. That'll keep them in line. So we don't do that anymore. It's, you know, and Obama did this, and Biden learned from this, too, where Obama would say, all options are on the table. If something horrible happened, you know, all options are on the table, except these. And you go, it's like, don't tell them what you're not going to do. You know, it's unbelievable, but they do. You know, bad guys don't play nicely in the sandbox. In this case, the sandbox
and they
is the Middle
follow,
East.
They don't follow the rules. Mark Larson, I have to take a quick break, but please, please hold on. Mark Larson is our special guest. He's a talk show host on KOGO, K-O-G-O, in San Diego. You should check him out. 7 p.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back here. It's TNT Radio.
You will go nowhere and be happy. No, I mean literally, you'll go nowhere. 4 flights per person per lifetime. That's the new travel reset.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
A new proposal out of France, which has already banned flights of 2.5 hours or less, evidence of an actual ongoing climate lockdown, not some future one, is now further proposing to restrict airline travel for French citizens. According to the French Consumer Science and Analytics, engineer Jean-Marc Giannacovici called for the 4 flights per person in a lifetime, and the public seems to agree.
A new poll out of France is raising eyebrows as residents express surprising views on air travel and its effect on climate change.
The poll shows 41% of the French population thinks travelers should restrict airline travel to only 4 times in their entire life.
So there you have it. Young people seem to believe the most, with 59% supporting the 4-flight lifetime ban on flying. If you change genders, can you possibly declare yourself a new lifetime and get an extra 4 flights? We don't know, but we do know this is further evidence of actual climate lockdowns occurring around the world. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Need a ride? Yeah!
Driving with kids is a big responsibility.
Hop in and buckle up!
So don't sweat the small stuff.
You got paint all over our paper!
Get the big stuff right instead.
What does that mean?
Like making sure your kids are in the correct car seat and buckled up for safer travel.
That deserves a wiggly wiggly wig!
To make sure your child is in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
You're listening to Steve Hook on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Steve Hook Show. My name is Lou Page, sitting in for Steve. We have our very special guest, Mark Larson. He's a frequent guest on Fox News Channel and other national networks as well. Currently serves as a contributor and political analyst for KUSI News Channel 9 in the great city of San Diego. And as I mentioned, you can catch his show on KOGO, KOGO Radio in San Diego, 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, Pacific Standard Time. Now, Mark, you have been around the media and worked in all aspects of the media throughout your career, and you've traveled the world, Russia, China, the Middle East during the Iraq War. I want to get to that in a minute, but we're in weird times right now when it comes to the media and the way they're covering events such as this. It used to be, you know, back in the day, if I could bring up Cronkite and Ted Koppel, when I was a kid, I used to watch Nightline when I was a kid. That's kind of what a nerd I was, but I never knew what Ted Koppel's political leanings were. You know, 30 years later, I found out he was a Democrat, but he did his job. He did it well, and he delivered the news, as did so many others of the time. Now, we seemingly have, and correct me if I'm wrong, major news organizations, whether it's ABC, NBC, CBS, and of course the cable channels, we know where they stand. They're taking sides, Mark. They're not reporting the news. They're reporting a narrative. They're reporting things the way they want us to think, and they're not giving us the news. They're giving us their thoughts and what they want our opinions to be. And this is not news. This is propaganda. Am I misreading that? Are we in weird times media-wise?
Well, we're in weird times because media in general, as we know, especially after 3.5 years of COVID, worst miniseries ever, COVIDia, you know, there's downsizing. Advertising, the marketplace is tightened up and in many cases imploded. So it becomes, hey, I got my hair on fire over here. Pay attention here. There's always been personalities in media. But again, the old days, this goes back to the fairness doctrine, which wasn't really fair, but it's getting into the weeds with that. But things changed when they changed the rules so we could have talk radio, for example, in the U.S. That was a big thing because it used to be, yes, supposedly mainstream, but the biases were still there. The old days of just having, you know, 3 or 4 networks, you include PBS in America on television, and they liked it that way, where it was all the same thing, and the contrary voices, usually the more conservative ones, were snuffed out. Now, because it's more popular, right-of-center content gets more traction. But in the middle of this, what's the old Springsteen song about 500 channels, nothing on? I mean, there's so much stuff on.
Yes.
out there. And, I mean, you do have the ability to see both sides. It's just a lot of work. So we don't have the depth in the newsrooms anymore. You and I both know we don't exactly. I may burst someone's bubble here. And as a listener, if they're saying, well, you must have a whole staff. No, we do a lot of this ourselves. In fact, yes. Fact of the matter is, especially on radio, if you're not boring, you have a position, you get more audience. I prefer dealing in truth. You and I both know there are some people who fake it in media. We've had some hair on fire talk show hosts on radio and TV that off stage, it's like, I don't really believe this stuff. That's what I do because it works.
Right, exactly. And there's still no names mentioned. There's still a few of those kicking around.
There's a few, yes, sir. And some of them graduate to suddenly be press secretaries. You never know. They pop up.
Exactly.
Strange places.
Hey, do you know, Mark, I'll tell you this quick, just a quick sidebar is I worked in construction before I got into media. And we actually did the Channel 9 studios, WOR, Secaucus, New Jersey at the time. And the Morton Downey Jr. show was airing there. And I got to meet Morton Downey Jr. and talk with him. And he was like the nicest guy in the world. Even after a show with sweat pouring from every pore in his body, he would take 5 or 10 minutes to chat with you about the show and how it went and why he did what he did. And it was an experience. It was great. You know, obviously he was going over the top. There was an image there, but I'd rather have that than the fakeness we see today, the liars. I've had arguments with friends. I've called them a sellout for a paycheck because I know I hear them on the air and I know they don't believe what they're saying. And I personally couldn't do that. And I always think like the curb is going to end up being my pillow one day because I just refuse to sell out on stuff like that. But the media, it's like, but a lot of it comes down to money, right, Mark? You mentioned the resources, budgeting, and newsrooms. Sure. You still have a great newsroom there in Cogo, or did they whittle that down?
We do. Yeah, no. There's been adjustments. I hired the biggest media company in the country, media for audio and digital and podcasts and things. But, you know, we've had adjustments, too, because, again, the marketplace is what it is. And a lot of that was inflicted by government overreach during COVID again. And the biggest casualty, I think, Lou, in the middle of all this is people who either say, I'm so sick of politics, so I'm not paying attention. That's time to worry. Because you know who pays attention? The bad guys. The bad guys are out there and they want a complacent, compliant, don't give a rip populace so they can take advantage of it. And this is not for people listening around the world on TNT. This is not for only for the United States. I mean, I like to say here, let's just do what's right for the country, for the state, for the local, you know, where you live. Do that. Separate the politics. If you really get down and you solve things when they say let's work together and let's get some real solutions, the problem is both sides then, if you really solve it, they can't raise money. So there's not really a yes, let's do that, because they have a vested interest. But I think we could say this, the out of the U.S. parallel for do what's right for the country would be do what's right for freedom for people everywhere. That's what this is about in the Middle East. If you think you want to, gee, well, maybe Hamas is misunderstood as they go and they're, you know, pillaging through and killing and decapitating Allah ISIS in the middle of Israel. You know, if you think that's really the way to go, good luck with that. You'll end up dead because they don't care about you. So let's go with the freedom, and let's do that regardless. You know, they say, well, Iran, they're not as bad as you say. Well, again, try being someone who's gay or any LGBTQ++ in Iran. That doesn't work well. And when you start trading, you know, you start putting money around for the hostages. We get some hostages back from Iran, and suddenly the $6 billion is available again. Now we get this, as many of us predicted. So do what's right for freedom.
After the hostage situation, Mark, I'm sorry to interrupt, but after the hostage situation is, you know, where they find out whether they're going to be able to rescue these hostages or if they're dead, I think Israel's just going to go scorched earth over the West Bank and Gaza. I don't think they're going to leave much there once it's just a matter of finding out about these hostages.
That's right. And of course, when we have a situation like this with Hamas on the first day that they did this over the weekend, Israel said, I think, 2,000 plus missiles, and Hamas is at 5,000. It appeared to be more missiles in one day than came out of Gaza versus Israel 2002 to 2006. And in 2006, the Israelis gave up, I believe it was one, or they got one hostage prisoner back from Gaza, and then they released like 1,000 prisoners who were Palestinian terrorists. So that was a major swap that probably looked good to somebody on paper. No doubt a lot of those terrorists are back more PO'd than ever in the middle of this fight.
Remind me, whoever negotiated that deal, they will not do my next contract. How is that one? Hey, Mark, I want to play one more soundbite for you here. This is Rudy Giuliani. Alex, can you please play cut four?
After Obama built up ISIS and gave billions in cash to Iran, which I think is treason, Trump did a really good job of having to defeat them again. And they're back. There's a sick, evil attachment between the high levels of the Democratic Party, particularly Iran. This whole discussion of the money, Rob, is really ridiculous. It's not the money, it's the giving of the money that's the significant act of foreign policy. You're giving $5 billion, $6 billion to a country that is dedicated to eliminating your best friend. Bibi is not dumb. No. Bibi knows when we give $5 or $6 billion to Iran, he really can't count on us. And he can't count on us. We have been for the last, for the Obama years and the Biden years, much more pro-Iranian than pro-Israeli.
Mark Larson, does the Democratic Party have a problem here, as Rudy Giuliani's pointing out, with their cozying up to Iran and now these tragic events in Israel?
Yeah, what's unfortunate, yes, the Democrat Party has a problem. Republicans also have a problem. They can't even get straight on the speaker. They can't put together a one-car parade right now. They control the spending. So both sides have an understatement. At the moment. But, you know, here's what happens. Giuliani makes some points that are valid. But you get some people saying, that's Giuliani. I remember his face, his hair was melting during January 6th, blah, blah, blah. You have people who discount talk radio or Fox News. Right.
Now they're calling him a drunk last week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know, yet again, some of the people who have created this mess, and this includes some on MSNBC and CNN and the whole bunch, you know, they're really, really, they've easily called Trump a Nazi or the followers Nazi-like and all of that. When you actually have Nazi crazy terrorist tactics, they're like, oh, let's not be so hasty about that. But they'll pin that on Israel because what will happen, and you mentioned this a little bit earlier, Lou, Israel will do everything, as they did over the weekend. They said, hey, people of Gaza, get out, which is not an easy thing, of course, but get out. Basically, we're going to do what we have to do here, and you've been warned. And again, Hamas doesn't care about their own people. So because they become props, they can say, look what Israel did with this bombing. Oh, okay, well, that wouldn't have happened had you not come in and done what you did to the Israeli people in the first place. It's unbelievable. So,
but then, you know, they'll go back. The counter of that, Mark, will be, well, they'll say, well, they've been, you know, killing, you know, civilians and oppressing the Palestinians in Gaza for the last 50 years or 80 years. You know, they brought this on themselves. In my mind, it's kind of like saying, well, that woman deserved to be raped. She wasn't wearing a bra and she had a miniskirt on.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I mean, you know, they've been so tough in Israel, right? I mean, they have. Here's the thing. They let every day until all of this, like hundreds or thousands who go back and forth, like on work visas, whatever, and come into it. And when I first went to Israel 6 years ago, there are major Palestinian enclaves. Bethlehem is pretty much, you know, run by Palestinians with it, and they all coexist. And there's peace-loving Palestinians. You can't lose that and just, you know, broad brush it all as Hamas. But Hamas is using them like they're using their atrocities that they're creating in Israel to say, oh, look how bad Israel is. And Israel will go
Mark,
in.
We have about a minute left. So we only have about a minute left. But what happens? There's like 2.5 million people, Palestinians there. Many of them innocent people just living their life and want a better life for their family like you and me. Are they just going to get destroyed, or are they going to get moved out like all the Armenians in Nagorno-Karabakh?
Yeah, and we'll see. Time will tell. That's a tall order. The UN will huff and puff and say, look, we have another resolution. Remember, Saddam Hussein basically used 14 resolutions as toilet paper. So the UN is interesting,
exactly.
But you can't, you know, America.
Well, Israel's going to be under a lot of pressure not to go scorched earth, but I think it's too late. I don't think they're going to listen to anybody at this point.
They got to do what they got to do. And meanwhile, who knows what else is happening there? Who knows what Hamas sympathizers are in America right now or other places around the world? That's a subject for another show, Luke.
True. It could come home. Mark Larson, we got to leave it there. I'm going to leave it there by saying to be continued. Hey, talk to John Bolton. Tell him that strange guy with the Florida area code who called you, Lou Pate. Yeah, give him a shout back. But Mark Larson, thank you very much. Catch the show, Kogo Radio, a great station in a great city, San Diego, a great host. Mark Larson, thank you for your time. And a special thanks to producer Kimberly. Special thanks to Alex running the show and Luke coming up next. I'll be continuing on with Brian McLean here on TNT Radio.